As a guest, Peter Aaron, who has a current show of photography up at Olana that you can see until, when is it?
That would be around Halloween, October 31st.
Okay, so you have some time. And I'll turn it over to Richard to introduce our guest further.
I think that Ellen has a bit of a prepared introduction.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Not really. We're really happy to have Peter Aaron here, who's a Hudson Valley photographer and has been practicing photography for a long time here and has a spectacular exhibition of photographs now at, is it called, it's not the Wagon House, which structure is it?
I think it is called the Wagon, I don't know. It's
the Coachman's House, which is attached to the bookstore.
It's kind of a few steps up from the bookstore. You go up the side there to an upper room.
Right, right. How did you happen to focus on Olana as a subject?
Well, there's a few reasons why I chose Olana. One is that I live next door. I have a house on Greendale Road, which is about a few thousand feet from the front entrance. Another reason is that I'm an architectural photographer, and I make my living photographing architects and interior designers' work. And Olana always fascinated me.
How much time did you spend into making this series of photos?
Well, this group of photos all were taken within the last 2 to 3 years. I have taken pictures for maybe 20 years at Olana because I bought my house in 1985, but I started again with the digital camera 2 years ago, the reason I started then was that I realized that they had a need for photography not of the building but of the landscape, because they're focusing on Frederick Church's intentions to make his property a beautiful, picturesque landscape, a type of landscape that was popular in the 19th century. And they want to try to bring some of that back, and I was asked to try to show some of that.
Now, almost all the photographs are black and white, I think, right?
I'd say two-thirds are black and white, but they all, not all, but most of them emanate from color pictures, because in the digital photography world, one now takes a color picture and converts it to black and white, and lots of good things come from that. In the old days, the Ansel Adams days, you would shoot black and white and you would use filters. And now we have the benefit of shooting in color and choosing our filters after the fact. So I have this embarrassment of riches. I can use a red filter for the sky and a green filter for the foliage and maximize what filters do. I think if Ansel Adams were alive today, he would embrace the digital photography, because he'd have a lot more tricks in his quiver. He could really do a lot more.
You also use infrared. Is this true?
Yeah, at a certain point, I took an older Canon 5D, and I had it converted to infrared, a place in New Jersey where they removed the sensor anti-infrared coating, and it makes the camera sensitive to infrared, wiping out its ability to shoot color. And infrared has interesting properties. It's for black and white anyway, it's really good for showing ruins and foliage, and makes skies black. It makes foliage very light in tone. It almost looks like a negative sometimes.
How does that work? How does it do that?
Well, the infrared spectrum is not the visual spectrum, so things give off heat. It's more to do with heat. And for some reason, a blue sky is interpreted as black or not much heat. And foliage must reflect a lot of heat because it comes out white. And things in between, like the stone of Olana. So some of the pictures work better in infrared than they did in color or in regular black and white, so I went with that.
They're very dramatic photographs, I must say. But you started out as an architectural photographer?
Let's see. First of all, the reason that I'm here at all is that I had gone to Bard College and graduated in 1968 and had fallen in love with the Hudson Valley, so that whole Catskill view was very interesting to me. And at a time when I had made enough money to buy a house, I looked for that view and finally found something close to Alana. But what was the original question?
How you started out as an architectural photographer?
Well, photography was always a hobby. It never was something that I studied in school. I studied physics. But when I graduated from Bard, I went to NYU Film School and got a master's in filmmaking, but ultimately went back to photography as my primary interest, and wound up meeting Ezra Stoller, who was one of the great architectural photographers. He and Julia Shulman would be the most famous American architectural photographers. So I worked for him in the 70s, and once I had apprenticed for 2 or 3 years, essentially I had become an architectural photographer with a lot of information and a lot of contacts, and since then I've been specializing in that in New York City for 35 years, I guess.
Your name is very familiar to me, and I'm wondering if any of your photographs were used by the New York State Council on the Arts years ago. There used to be something called the Governor's Award, and many of those awards were given to architects. Does that ring a bell at all?
Well, it would make sense in that architects hire me in order to try to show their intentions and what it is about their buildings that people would respond to. So if any architects got a council award, they would probably use a professional's pictures, and it could have been my picture.
That's right. I recognize your name from those days. So the thing about Alana is, it seems to me that any direction you look in is a dramatic view of some sort. And they've done a lot of work on explaining the view shed now of Alana, and I think your photographs really help explain that phenomenon.
I must say, when Sarah Griffin gave me this assignment, which was, you know, just at my pleasure, it was pro bono, I wasn't sure what a picturesque landscape was. I wasn't sure what Frederick Church's intentions were. And it was only a process of discovery that allowed me to find out. But I would say that there are these transition points on the property where you go from woods to view, or a carriage trail makes a gooseneck turn and you see an interesting vista. And I could see what his intentions were, and I could see why the approach used to be from the north, so that nothing was revealed until you finally got to the top, and then you'd finally see the, well, what the Algonquin Indians called the Great Wall of Manitou, which is that Catskill escarpment that we all see on the other side of the Hudson. And I think that Frederick Church didn't want you to see that wall until you got to the house itself.
So you're saying you came in from an entirely different direction?
Yeah, the original entrance was from the north at Route 23, and it was a serpentine road that took a while to get up. As a matter of fact, one of the photos in the show shows the carriage trail, and you can only really see it in the woods in the winter when the snow falls and the road is left black and the woods are white with snow.
So you go to Olana quite frequently.
Yeah, the most recent was yesterday when there was an approaching storm. It was it looked like it could be a tornado. The clouds were roiling. I could see them coming over the Catskills, and jumped in the car and went up to the house. But by the time I got there, it was all dissipated. And it's nice to live close by, but gee, things happen quickly.
That's what happens here in Hudson. People say, oh, look, they actually call it a Frederick Church sky. Jump in the car, rush down to the waterfront to see the sunset.
Yeah.
If people go to see your photographs there, what else will they see that they might not see just walking around Olana with the naked eye? What will they discover?
Well, in this collection of photographs, you'll see different times of year. Autumn, you'll see a picture of swirling clouds. The picture was taken from Cherry Ridge Orchards in September, and it looks spooky. And then there's the infrared pictures. Well, it just, as I said, looks like a negative or some heightened reality. There's a nice shot of an MG coming up the hill that's heightened color and makes you want to have an MG. There's a runner with Mount Marino in the background, and it's early spring, and you can see the dozens of different shades of green in the foliage. You can see parts of Olana that take a bit of walking to get to, like the view of the Rip Van Winkle Bridge and the Catskills. You can see the difference between infrared and heightened color of spring in the same view next to each other. There's a night shot of Olana with the Hudson's lights glowing in the background. That's pretty interesting in a snow-covered lake. Just a few other things that are interesting to see.
Anything else you'd like to have people know before they come to the show?
Oh, well, when I mounted the show, first I had glass on the pictures, and then I thought, why put glass there? It's a very interesting surface that's a matte, a beautiful type of paper, and the color comes through better, so I removed the glass. And so now I feel like you can really see the pictures almost as though it's a computer screen or a backlit.
I did notice that, and it did make a difference.
And do you know the hours when the show is available to the public?
As far as I know, it's 10 to 5 every day.
And Olana is open at that time?
Yes, according to the website.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.